Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm back. I'm happy to be back after I was out last time. I'm here with Tony as always.
Hello.
And then we're here with Simon. Simon is in for Jamie. How you doing, Simon?
Pleasure to be here. I'm doing quite well.
All right, great. So today we're going to break from format again, and we're going to talk about virtual reality. We're going to talk about VR, and that's all we're going to talk about for this podcast because there's been a lot of questions about it, a lot of new devices that you can get. A couple of libraries in the area are actually getting some of these devices, so that's kind of cool. And so we want to talk about virtual reality. And first, I want to pose a question to Tony and to Simon. Why is VR interesting to you? What is it about VR that gets you interested? How about we start with Simon?
All right. This is an interesting question in that it's very difficult to describe over words. And the best analogy that I've come across when talking to people is that talking about VR is like dancing about architecture. It just doesn't really quite translate well. Mm-hmm. The best advice that I have for anybody that's kind of even remotely interested is get your hands on something. Try anything that you have, be it Gear VR or if you know somebody that owns a Vive, try it. I can rave on and on about it because I think it's fantastic in that, to answer the question, it brings you to worlds that you otherwise might not experience. Mm-hmm. Very visually, it takes you into these places that you would have no other opportunity to kind of immerse yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different and it's hard to talk about. And my best recommendation is just try it.
I agree with that completely. I thought VR sounded cool and might be fun until I actually put a Oculus on my face. And then I was a believer. It converted me. It made me an evangelist for virtual reality. Tony, what about VR interests you?
Yeah, I'm really interested on the, well, partially on the technology end, but that being kind of like a double-pronged thing. I like it because I'm into video games, and it just seems like a natural evolution of games in that you have three-dimensional spaces, but now you have being inside of a three-dimensional space and the level of complexity of the games and your interaction with that world just goes to a completely new level, which I think is very fascinating. I've tried out, you know, like the Oculus. I've tried a few of these thanks to various demos that were brought into the library. And one of the other things I think is really fascinating about it as an emerging technology is that there's going to be uses beyond just video games. So that's also partially what's keeping me interested in seeing how it evolves. So I may not be like one of the first early adopters, but I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, I want to see where this goes. You know, this is the dream of Snow Crash, right? That we're all going to have a virtual world that we inhabit. I assume this is why Facebook bought Oculus, is because they can use it for their new platform. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not really sure, but this could be the new social interaction. We've got FaceTime right now. We've got Google Hangouts right now, and those are pretty good. I use my Google Hangouts once a week, but if I could put on my goggles and be in the same room as my friends, talking to my friends, interacting, and they could see my hands moving or my facial expression or something like that, my body language, like that's the future that I'm looking forward to. Goggles don't do it just yet, but maybe someday.
And it's funny that you bring that up. You describe that, but it's my understanding that you haven't really quite experienced that, the idea of moving around hands and experiencing somebody in the same room.
I have not. No, I haven't done two-player anything, and I haven't had any. I haven't used the Vive handsets, anything like that. I've only been PlayStation controllers up to this point.
So there's a certain title called Tabletop Simulator, and it is exactly what it says on the tin. Simulates a tabletop. You sit around a table, you can bring out board games that are hosted on Steam Workshop. I had the fantastic opportunity to try it with a friend of mine that also owns Vive out in Milwaukee. So here we are separated by many, many miles, and I swear to you, it was like sitting in the same room. I mean, the expressiveness that he was able to convey using just his hands and kind of, you know, tilting of his face and things like that was phenomenal. And it's only going to get better.
I like that a lot because I own Tabletop Simulator. Yeah, it costs $10-$20 and that sounds great that a game that I already own, that I already use, can kind of flow seamlessly into this whole new experience, whole new space.
I'd go so far as to say that the game feels as though it was practically designed for this type of interaction. Everything just feels so natural to pick things up using your hands, to shuffle cards, things like that. It just works.
So let's talk about these devices. We're throwing out a bunch of words. Let's break down what they are. Let's talk about Oculus. Let's start there. So Oculus is kind of the Oculus Rift, or Oculus, is kind of what set off this big new boom when they had a Kickstarter. They say, give us $300, and then in so many years, we'll give you a VR headset. And that's finally come to fruition. The Oculus Rift is out in the world. You can buy it from the website. I think you got to wait a month or two before it ships, but sooner or later, you'll have it in your home. The Oculus is $600 and requires a very expensive PC to run. Something that you've had for years may not keep up with the Oculus. So it's kind of a big investment to get into an Oculus Rift. It comes with, I think, an Xbox One controller, which, you know, is $50, $60. You can get in any store already. So that's kind of not a big deal. It's something familiar. Simon and I have what's called a DK1 and a DK2, which is the developer kits. And some of these are out there too. Maybe if you used an Oculus last year or the year before, that's what you were using, was a developer kit. I have an Oculus, but it's not the final fancy Oculus. It's not the real Oculus. I have the development kit one. I think, Simon, you've got one and two.
Yes. I'd like to interject real quick, just because I can't stress enough, if you have tried one of the previous ones, how big a leap it's made.
Sure.
I mean, truly, the largest differences from one to final product are resolution and space tracking, full space tracking, in the sense that you're not just getting rotational along the lines of what you would get on a gear. So really, even if you have tried it, I recommend you get the latest and greatest, just to not get it, but at least try it. They're fantastic.
Cool. There's also the HTC Vive, which is $800. This is the one that Simon has, and this is his baby. This is the one that he loves. It comes with, is there a name for the controllers?
They're referred to typically as just the Vive Ones.
Okay.
There's not a very specific name, but that's commonly.
They kind of look like little handles with little loops at the end, and you can use these any number of ways in any number of games to simulate hand motions in the virtual world, to pick things up, to throw them, to drop them, to toss them back and forth between people. And this also has a room scale VR, right? It'll track your head's movement through space and the wand's movement around the room, not just standing still and whether you're turning left or right, but whether you're moving back or forth.
That's correct.
How's the experience of that?
So I've had an opportunity to use only the camera tracking system on the Oculus DK2 to compare. I'd like to try the final consumer version to have a really solid comparison, but from what I know right now, it's kind of a night and day difference. Being able to turn around fully and to move anywhere you want in that room just gives it an extra little bit of oomph that it really needed.
Sure.
It feels like you can stand up and do whatever you want. You're not restricted by this small space, and that's what VR needs.
Yeah.
We're only going to get better at that.
Yeah. Well, my question is, there are like sensors or are they cameras that you place around the room to make that happen?
So they are infrared emitting base stations.
Okay.
The principle, the actual way that they work is very similar in concept to the Nintendo Wii. It emits infrared signal. The headset picks it up using these infrared, like an array, and it just does some quick math to figure out where it is in space.
Excellent.
The Vive also requires a computer of similar integrity as the Oculus, so you got to be on board. Tony and I were talking about computers before we started recording. It's something like bare minimum. You want like a $300 video card, $250 CPU, something like that, and then the rest of the PC that goes with all that. So we're not talking about a $550 computer. It may cost well over $1,000 for a computer that runs the Vive or the Oculus as well as they should be run. That's very important, is that you want the frame rate high, you want the resolution clear on these things, because otherwise there's some talk of illness going around, which is unfortunate, some nausea that people get. It's become less and less common with the newer and newer headsets, I understand. But if you don't have a high enough frame rate or the frame... So when I say frame rate is how many pictures it draws on the screens in front of your eyes. If they don't move quite right the way your face moves around the room, you might get a little nauseous. And that's really unfortunate. So that's another reason, like Simon says, to try it out. Like, you should really try it out for yourself before you spend $800 on a Vive and $2,000 on a computer just to find out that it makes you ill. That'd be unfortunate. All right, on down the list. So the Oculus and the Vive are the big computer models. The next one on my list is the PlayStation VR. And I actually got to try this yesterday. I went to a Best Buy. Best Buy and GameStops have demos. And I could sit in a chair and they put the VR headset on my head and I got to play a game. And this version costs $400. So that's cheaper than the Oculus and the Vive. and you don't need a PC to run it, you need a PlayStation 4, which is also significantly cheaper. So this is the one I'm kind of excited about, because I'd love a Vive, I'd love the computer to run it, I just can't swing it in the next month or two with my budget. But a PlayStation VR, I already have a PlayStation 4, I can definitely swing a PlayStation VR for $400, and it's pretty good. I was able to use it. It kind of straps to your head, and then the goggles hang down over your eyes. So it literally floats there. It's not strapped to your face so much the way the Oculus is. The resolution was great. The frame rate was great. I played Eve Valkyrie, which was maybe not the best demo of the technology, because you know, you're sitting in a space fighter and you're going to shoot all the bad guys. You kind of want to be facing forward. You could look around, you could look to the left, you could look to the right, and you could see the rest of your cockpit, and that was cool, but you don't want to be looking left when you're trying to shoot other spaceships. You want to look forward. Mm-hmm. So they had some other demos there that I didn't get to try, but the PlayStation VR has a couple of perks that I really like. For one, it's going to have what they call a theater mode, which is any PlayStation game, whether it's a VR setup or not, you can load into theater mode, and it just creates a big screen theater for you to play your game on that you inhabit when you wear the goggles. So a pro to this is my girlfriend and I, when she wants to watch TV and I want to play PlayStation, well, I can just slip on the goggles, and I've got my own little theater to play in, and she can watch TV. Do you guys have any experience or any ideas about the PlayStation VR? What do you think of that?
I have yet to try one. My hope is that it turns out really quite well. It's probably the most immediate opportunity for many people to actually get something like this in their homes. Mm-hmm. And that'd be fantastic. The cheaper it is, the more widely available it is, the better for everyone, really. Mm-hmm. I do have some slight concerns along the lines of exclusive titles, and that's been kind of an issue that people have been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
Right.
In particular, there's one game that I'm looking forward to that is getting kind of a pre-sequel called Psychonauts 2. The in-between title will be something along the lines of Rhombus of Ruin.
Right.
Point is, as a result of kind of a Kickstarter-style event that they ran, they announced a title which is now coming out exclusively for PlayStation VR. And that's not so great for people that don't own a PlayStation VR.
That's unfortunate, right. So the PlayStation VR, though, I tried it. I was worried about the lower price point. I was worried that it would not hold up. And I think it held up quite well. I did not feel any nausea, at least, but at best, I kind of squinted and twisted and stared into the sun to try to see the pixels on this thing. And I could not. The resolution was very good.
Yeah.
And the frame rate kept up, even though there was a lot of things on screen. The poly count seemed low. Maybe that's the PlayStation's fault, is that the ships that were flying around did not seem as impressive as they would if you were just playing on your TV or if you were just playing on your PC. And that's unfortunate, but it was still effective. It did give me a sense of presence, not as strong as I had when I've used an Oculus before. But I certainly forgot that I was sitting at a chair in a Best Buy while I was playing that game.
Very nice. And that shows the level of immersion. I do have one question about how these next-gen consoles are maybe slightly suboptimal for VR. And you know, do you guys know if there's going to be like a PlayStation 4 upgrade or something like that where they're not, they are going to do that?
Yes,
they've
absolutely
already announced one, I think officially, down the line. There's no news on specs. Okay. They just say it's coming.
Okay.
It'll probably just be a hardware revision as opposed to a brand new console.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably be designed to run VR titles more effectively.
And 4K televisions, I think, is what they're reaching for. They have funny names like the PlayStation Neo and the Xbox's Project Scorpio.
Scorpio, right.
It's best described as a PlayStation 4.5.
Yeah.
It's not quite a 5. It'll play 4 games. It'll probably look like the PlayStation 4 and use the PlayStation 4 controllers, but it will have its own capabilities. Even though it will play the same games, they'll look a little better on your 1080, and they might look a whole lot better on your 4K.
Yeah.
And then whether or not that reflects on VR, I don't think I've heard. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, almost undoubtedly it will, but really to what extent is pure speculation.
Sure.
So.
And then finally, I want to mention the Gear VR. God bless its little heart. The Gear VR is $100, and this is the best way, I think, to just try something. Gear VR is $100, and the way it works is it's basically just a headset with a strap, and you open it up and you put your Samsung phone into it and you close it, And then you've got the screen from your phone functioning as the VR headset. Tony, you've used Gear VR, haven't you?
Well, I've only used the Google Cardboard.
Oh, Cardboard, yeah.
Which is the even less expensive.
Less
expensive for like a $10 price point, or you can make it with Home Crafts. Yeah, I mean, the thing with the Gear VR, I know that it does have the lenses that'll help, that basically just take the visuals of your phone and then it'll kind of distort them back into a readable shape by your eyes. So it's much simpler of a device. I don't think I have seen one of these, but I hear that phones actually get kind of warm because they're running at such high processing power for such a small thing. And it's only the S5 currently, I think, that runs it. I don't know if there's any other current generation phones.
Actually, if you buy an S7, I think right now even, it comes with a Gear VR. You just get one.
That's
so
nice.
S7 is probably considered the most optimal Gear experience, but it'll probably run S5 through S7 if you own it.
Yeah, I probably said S5, but I meant S7 because I think S5 is probably a little too dated. I don't know.
I wish I knew definitively. Yeah, I'm pretty confident that
we'll have
to
Google that in the middle of a podcast and find out. But I saw these at Best Buy as well. When I was there looking for the PlayStation VR, they had Gears sitting out next to all the tablets and next to all the phones. So if you're interested in trying something right now, or if you're an Android phone user and you need a new phone, then why not get a Samsung S7 and get a free Gear VR while you're at it? It can run some fun little programs. There's official Star Wars programs out there that can have you can look around Jakku or Hoth or something like that. I'm not entirely sure.
Worth noting, if you are in the market for a phone that can do VR-capable content, keep an eye out for the word Daydream. I don't know if you guys are familiar. Google ran an event at their Google I.O. presentation just a few weeks ago. It was very interesting hearing them talking about a standardized format for VR because Gear is already on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But you can kind of think of the Google Daydream project as the grown-up version of Cardboard.
Hmm.
It'll do the same thing that Gear does, except what they'd like also to do is unify the marketplace with a standardized controlling mechanism, a controller that you can use for any game that you're playing, any content that you're running. It'll be a motion-style controller that you can just hold in the palm of your hand and slip into your pocket when you're done with it. So,
excellent.
Almost like a key fob, just a little sort of thing.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that is your basic breakdown, our take on the four headsets, the Oculus, the Vive, the PlayStation VR, and the Gear, with a couple of fun notes thrown in. The Google Cardboard, you can search for that on your own, and it can turn almost any phone into a VR headset, and promises of Daydream sound exciting. So let's move on to experiences. What sort of things can you do VR? What are some of your favorite things that you guys have done in VR? We heard about Tabletop Simulator, and that sounded great. But what else really makes VR stand apart as something worth doing and worth spending this money for?
I'd like to take a brief moment to stick around on the subject of Tabletop Simulator, only because I do have a story that I didn't want to start too early with. But
asked please.
On the subject of why it's fantastic, what makes it immersive, I'll be the first person to tell you, VR is not real, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was fooled in that just the other day, maybe a week ago, I sustained the first kind of VR injury that I and this was as a direct result of Tabletop Simulator.
Okay.
Here I am with a group of friends, maybe, I don't know, 6-7 of us, a bunch of people without VR headsets, because it's compatible between the two, and then me and Tanner, again, Milwaukee, who do both have Vives.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing around, we're throwing dice, we're shuffling cards, doing whatever. I scale down, and we're still messing with some of these things. Somebody throws a D20 at me. It's worth noting, at this point in time, I'm roughly the size of that D20.
Sure.
So here it is coming at me like that boulder from Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I dive. I don't know really what comes over me, but the first instinct you get is duck, dive, get out of the way. It's this huge thing. Again, I know it's not real.
Right.
But I sustained it kind of.
You have
an injury
to show it. Yeah.
As a result, yeah.
Yeah.
So that in particular is my go-to story for telling people why this is going to be a big thing.
Because it's
that,
that effective.
Believable.
Yeah.
It's that real to you in the moment.
Sure.
There was no room around me other than the tabletop room when I was, experiencing this.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. You can look for this on YouTube. There was a demo where they had people tightrope walking between two tall buildings. And in the real world, it was a piece of duct tape along the floor that they had to walk across this straight line. right? That's all you had to do is walk from point A to point B. But they put these goggles on people and made it look like they were hundreds of feet in the air and that they had headphones on as well and they could hear the wind blowing and they had to walk across this tightrope. And the tightrope lined up with the duct tape. So if you're wearing the VR headset, it looked like you were tightrope walking across a wire, but to everyone standing around, it's just a person trying to stand on duct tape. And they would take step after step, and then they'd kind of wander and they'd kind of wave. And it was hilarious because they couldn't walk straight. they couldn't do it. They would take one or two steps and they'd get scared and take the thing off their face, you know, and they saw a couple people would fall down because they couldn't take the vertigo. That's exciting to me. And it's also just hilarious fun just to watch.
On a different note, I mean, I'm curious on what kind of stories it can tell. I mean, you're immersed in a different type of space and you can have events happening around you. You can really build a fiction in a way that is so much more believable if you're a part of it. You're basically being witness to a story. So yeah, I'm just really curious. And actually my experience was one of the demos of the Oculus that Simon showed me. And it was, I don't exactly remember. It was kind of like an ice cave and you're looking out and there was
Colossus,
some kind of
loss, I believe. Kind of a 2D, well, okay.
Like almost like cell shading. Yeah. So it was almost like cartoon characters. And yet the sense of scale was really nice. Not only would you see something small that would catch your vision, but then something large would creep into your vision. And then you'd have to turn your whole head up and around to see this giant form.
Yeah.
And when it takes up 3/4 of your entire vision, it's quite impressive. So me and Dave were talking a little bit about this before we started, but you can do incredible things with scale. I don't know if you want to give that example about the planets.
Yeah, the planetary tour, I can't remember what it's called. It's an old Oculus demo where you are on a guided tour of the planets of the solar system. And looking at the planet, you know, hanging in space above you was all fine and good. And, you know, it looked cool. But the most effective part was the sun. And the sun was behind you. And so you look at this planet and see, all right, it looks this big. It looks bigger than the last planet. But you would have to look over your shoulder to see the sun. And the sun was huge. It went you know, higher than you could see and lower than you could see. And you'd have to look over your other shoulder to see the other half of it. And things like that, that a square screen, a TV screen cannot do, is this sense of overwhelming scale and this sense of differences between something that is very large and something that is very small is something that's not effective on a flat screen, no matter how big the screen is, no matter if it's an IMAX theater. It's nowhere near as effective as VR can do, even on the oldest tech and the oldest programs that I used 2 years ago on a DevKit 1. Like, I was impressed then. I'm certainly hopeful that I'll be continually shocked by what it can do in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also just, the sense of presence, the sense of immersion, I kind of just want to log into Skyrim, if I could, and just, like, sit by the river and stare at the mountains, you know?
Certainly.
Like, not so much, not even play a game, but, you know, I never found white noise machines next to your bed to be all that soothing, but I believe people could make some very soothing beach getaway Oculus Rift demos or some mountain hiking stream gear VR programs that would just be phenomenally relaxing and rejuvenating, and you don't even have to leave your living room to experience it.
Yeah, virtual tourism is actually something that people are starting to talk about. It's gaining traction, and that the tools to really effectively do photogrammetry and design environments that can convey, you know, a space that you've never been to are finally starting to emerge. Even right now, just the normal 360 photosphere that you can do with a normal, you know, Android phone, it's fantastic. It's amazing technology, but being able to do that with side-by-side 3D on something like a Vive or an Oculus or anything that you can get a hold of is even better.
I'm excited for, I'm a wrestling fan, as people know, and they're working on a camera for VR that kind of sits in the crowd. So instead of relying on the cameraman ringside to show pictures, you know, to take pictures, take video of what's happening in the ring, they're just going to have this camera sitting in the crowd. And so you can put on, theoretically, this isn't out yet. This is something they're tinkering with. You'll be able to just put on your goggles and sit in the crowd and look left and look right and look at the ring if you want, or the announcers if you want, or the ramp if you want. And you'll get that live experience that you don't get when you watch it on the super produced, you know, mega quick edits that they do on the TV version of wrestling. Mm-hmm. You'll get much more immersive, much more present, I think, than the way it's currently shown now. And I'm excited for that. I've seen pictures of the camera. That's all I know, is that they have this device and it sits there. But I'm excited for that.
Sure. Like you're talking about digital tourism or, you know, virtual tourism. It's a way to open up information of a different type to a wider audience. So as a librarian, you know, it's dear to me to be able to provide access to knowledge. Well, I think that it's a new type of knowledge will be really interesting because it's taking something that is visual and in a three-dimensional space. And I remember seeing on one of the lists of what are the technologies that VR is bringing, it's, well, museums. So museums are oftentimes just a place that you have to go to, but now they can be a virtual destination. And the curators there can really decide on a certain very particular type of experience. And, you know, hopefully they're adopting that early and we'll get to see some, I'm sure we are, we're going to get to see some of that really soon if it's not already out there. So that's one of the things I think is very interesting for maybe someone that isn't a gamer that wants to engage with their world, you know.
Yeah, it's worth noting, there's something for everybody, really, when it comes mm-hmm. to VR, regardless of whether or not you're into games. There's so many types of content. I don't think people quite understand that this is basically a medium that we're inventing and not, you know, a game console.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, games are fun, but it's the rest of it that hasn't shown up just yet, and that's the thing that I'm most excited about.
We're catching little bits and pieces of it. It's trickling in. People are experimenting. We're getting the first of what will become part of a larger industry that I think we can really imagine.
Great. Any closing thoughts? Any final words before we wrap it up here?
I mean, though the prices are really high now, do you guys foresee them leveling off to a more affordable level, or do you see this becoming more of a mainstream technology? Because obviously it's in a very specific, if you're ready using these technology, if you're ready a gamer, you might have a very powerful computer.
Well, there are options that are just starting to enter the market. I think Razer is already working with an open source standard for VR, mm-hmm. which is something like $400 entry level. It's only going to get cheaper.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. It's also only going to get better. So along those lines, how the timeline works out, no one can predict accurately. I think that we're going to see a lot of new kind of experimental input methods. I think people are more open to buying peripherals for their computers that, or rather, the variety of peripherals that you'll be willing to buy for your computer is probably greater than it previously would have been. So things like, for example, the Leap Motion. This is a camera that you can attach to either a keyboard or, in this case, for VR in front of a headset that will track your hands. Or the Manus gloves. These are gloves that you stick on your hands. They'll probably use some form of lighthouse tracking, but no one knows for sure, that will more accurately track your finger motions, possibly provide haptic feedback down the line so you can feel things.
Sure.
These types of things will, I think, help push the market in a direction that maybe some of these VR companies don't know it needs to go in.
Yeah.
And along those lines, definitely the headsets will get cheaper too. So it's kind of very open-ended right now.
I think it's amazing that so much can be accomplished with just screens and headsets. That you put something in front of your eyes and you put something over your ears. And in a lot of ways, that's enough. Like, if you're talking about being able to feel things with my hands, that sounds amazing. That sounds great. But you don't even need that yet. Just put on a set of goggles, put on the headphones over your ears, and you're gone, man. You forget where you are. Forget that you're in a Best Buy. You're diving out of the way of dice. Like, it's amazing how easily we're fooled. Mm-hmm. As Descartes put it once about a demon feeding him information. Like, he was right on. Like, he had no idea how close to the point he was, that if you can fool your eyes and you can fool your ears, we're basically fooled. So I think the final word here from all of us is try one of these out, because we all have and we love it. Find a gear, find a friend with a Vive. If you go to the websites, sometimes they'll steer you certain ways. I found one at a Best Buy by looking at PlayStation's website, or you can try on a gear just at a Best Buy, apparently, or find a friend with an Oculus or a Vive or some sort of event, because if you're anything like us, then you will be convinced, because these things are amazing. Okay. So that's it for the Point and Click podcast. Thank you, Tony, for being here. Thank you, Simon, so much for filling in.
Absolutely.
We'll see you around the library and come back next time for the next Pint and Click podcast.